Yeah, and kind of near the largest city nearby is Karlsruhe.
Yes, Karlsruhe is about, I'd say, 30 kilometers away.
Okay, good. Well, that's where we find ourselves waking up this morning. We wanted to talk a little bit about what's been happening, where we're at, and what we've been seeing. Yesterday, we had an opportunity to visit with two different EMSs in southern Germany, Rave and Rafi. We had an opportunity to meet with the managing directors at both facilities, receive an overview of their business. We did a facility tour, and then we were able to sit down and speak with the management and ask questions. I'll be producing a profile as soon as I get free time on each of the companies that we're visiting for publication on EMS Now, so wait for those. Let me start with you, Dita. We saw two impressive companies yesterday. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, we are talking about two companies who have been in the business for quite long. And the interesting part of our visit was that we learned again that they have quite sticky relations with their customers, which means they have customers who do not change their suppliers every year or so just for some price variation within the market. No, it is more that they have customers who consider their EMS suppliers as manufacturing partners, or you could as well say it's a production department of the customer, which is the EMS, and that is a very healthy relation. So the salespeople do not have to chase every year for new customers. It's much better if you maintain a very good relation with your customer, making sure you will get the orders for the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in this case, if I remember correctly, they've both been in existence a long time. So to note, Rave has been in existence, I believe they're celebrating their 50-year anniversary this year. And Rafi, they take their history back 120 years to the beginning, until year 1900, if I remember correctly. I think it was Rave indicated that the average tenure of their customers was in excess of 20 years, which goes to the point that you're making about the stickiness. And say something too, you had made a comment about how you thought that the OEMs are very conservative in their approach to the whole outsourcing.
We talked about this yesterday as well, that it is important that customer and supplier fit together. And in this case, I think it'll be more conservative customers who are really looking for a long-term relation, because they want to see their service partner as the, let's say, extended workbench, and they want to maintain a good relation. They are those customers everybody loves, because if a competitor comes and makes a 2% lower quotation, then it will not immediately lead to the fact that the customer jumps to the next supplier, and that is a healthy.
Yeah, yeah, I think it was Rafi, the gentleman we spoke to, who indicated that for one of their customers, they're kind of dual sourced on that. The Rafi and another EMS, and he said on pricing, sometimes we're more expensive, sometimes we're less expensive, but that doesn't shift the percentage in the business that they're getting. The customer just accepts that and sees that as the way it is.
Yes, let's face it, changing a supplier is much more expensive and can be much more risky, because a new supplier might not know the specialties about the product or the customer, and thus it could end up in a disaster.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, on comparison from the tours, both companies have impressive, kind of nicely well thought out and laid out manufacturing facilities. They both seem quite efficient with it. I liked it with Rafi how they had the material, the incoming material was behind a wall that they put the equipment feed it into their component towers there, which then get fed back through into the factory. I thought that layout was quite cool.
But it requires a lot of space as well. And what we heard at Rawe, they are actually extending the factory. And they are starting with that next year. They will need more space. And on the other hand, what I found very impressive with Rawe was they even had a high volume product where they, I think it was in 2017, had achieved 100 million products of one type, and they are now at 120 million. So it's a product that is has been running for ages with them, and in average they are manufacturing 7 million of those products every day, every year.
And I was impressed too with how automated they had made that manufacturing process, right? The way that with the cells that they had that were producing that, it was very well thought out. Actually, you just reminded me too, the thing that struck me of that factory, we go through, as we go through factories, you know, they're kind of dark, kind of lit area, well, dark, I mean, you know, they're in halls and they're internal. You don't see the outside. At Rawe, they had these beautiful big windows and we're looking out into the snow falling outside. And what a cool environment that is for a worker, too.
Yes, but that is something typical for Rafi as well as Rawe. They are built and managed by local people who really take care of their employees, who want to build a nice working environment for them. Because let's face it, nowadays to get employees is very difficult. Yep. So the better the working environment, the higher your chances you get qualified personnel.
Yeah. And let's talk about that, because one thing that struck me yesterday too was the products that they were building. And when they introduced kind of the, you know, in their presentations, and we saw what they are, a lot of these, they really reflect the increased prevalence of electronics in our everyday life, right? I mean, a lot of things built off of sensors, many things with home automation. What you were just telling the story at Rawe with 120 million they've built now that they've automated is for kind of an automotive, but it's an illumination function without an automotive.
Yes.
So it's interesting to me as we were going through there, just, and we talked, you know, we joked about some of them, some of it's sensors in urinals, right? Some of it, but and doors, you know, things that open doors and all these things. And it really reflects kind of how prevalent electronics have become in all these products around us. And those have to be built.
Yes. Electronics is more and more, coming and adding to our lives, but let's face it as well. What's going to happen if electricity collapses one day?
We can't do anything. We're going to be helpless, aren't we?
Yeah.
Listen, but one of the sectors that, and we saw a few examples of it in our tour yesterday that I know you have an opinion on, is what you call agricultural electronics. Talk about that.
Yes, it is one of my favorite subjects. As you know, I do the annual survey for the EMS, European EMS industry, together with IPC. And we do ask questions about the different market segments. And now comes the problem that it's not always clear to the EMS companies where how to categorize their product. Yeah. You mentioned the illumination sensor. Now you might have some people saying, well, that's illumination, that goes with LED technology, and as I say, hey, it goes into a car, it's automotive. Yeah. And we have the same with agriculture. And in actual fact, at the moment, last year's annual survey, I only got feedback that the agricultural electronics was 1.5%, and that is definitely not true. Yeah. It is much more. But we saw it as well, that some people, when they manufacture electronics, for example, for tractors or harvesters, they put it into vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah. and not in agriculture. No. Yeah, so it's a little difficult, but that is a general problem of all market researchers. You can only research the feedback you get from your customers.
Yeah, and I remember in the olden days, 20 years ago or so, when I was doing market research, any product that didn't fit neatly in another sector, we always stuffed in industrial.
Oh,
industrial
yes.
is probably the most varied sector that's out there.
Exactly. It has, about 5 years ago, industrial electronics was at about 42-44% of all electronics. Now it has changed due to the fact that I changed the market segments. We have we took out measurement and control out of industrial electronics, and that nearly split industrial electronics in half. So that is the work going on. We cannot change the market segments every year, because if we did, we would not be able to compare the developments. But we are continuously working on this. We try to convince the different associations who do market research as well to go along with us. But it is a long way, and it's continuous work.
Yeah. Good, good. Well, it's morning time here in Germany. We're getting on the road again today. Preview for our audience what we are doing.
Well, this morning we are driving to Company Zero. Some of our listeners might have recently read about Zero. They bought Solid Cemex, a Dutch EMS company with manufacturing facilities in Slovakia earlier this year. And just 4 weeks ago, Zero bought a small EMS factory in Florida in the United States. So they are getting more a global footprint.
Yes.
Still, they have a long way to go, but it is very interesting to see their development. And that is this morning's visit. And in the afternoon, we're going to be visiting with a very large EMS, one of the top 10 in Europe, New Ways Electronics, and we are visiting their German facility in Neunkirchen, which is in the Saarland, and I'm actually really looking forward to see that facility. It is one of two German facilities they have.
New Ways has. Well, yeah, no, it should be a good day, and then tomorrow we're on to a couple more, and we'll continue it through the rest of this week. We have visits through Friday with EMS companies. We are sticking to Germany for this trip, so hopefully next year we can do another on tour and go into some other countries in Europe, because I know we've already been reached out to by several people saying, you know, do you have time to come see us? And unfortunately, it just didn't work in this time.
Let me add to that, not fully correct. We're not just limiting ourselves to Germany this time, because next week we're going to go to the Netherlands.
I said this week, though. So yes,
yeah.
Next week we are in the Netherlands.
Next week we are in the Netherlands, and we are going, we're going to be guests at the annual general meeting of the Dutch FHI, association, which is an industrial association with an EMS cluster, and we're gonna meet many medium-sized Dutch and Belgian EMS companies over there, and I will be giving a presentation, a similar one as I did in Tallinn in Estonia, and I'm looking forward to many interesting discussions with those companies in the Netherlands.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, if it's the same presentation you gave in Estonia, then I can take a nap while you're speaking. So that's good.
Well, you better not, because I might just throw questions into the audience and I might look at you then.
Yeah, very good. Listen, the other thing I just wanted to comment on in closing, too, is, and for our audience to give a sense of this, because I know that there's a lot of news out about what's going on in Europe relative to COVID and the Omicron variant and what's doing. Dita and I have now been tested 5 times. We're at the point where we are testing and will be testing daily through the rest of the week for our tours. It has become a condition of actually getting into the companies. In 2 situations, we've actually been at two EMS that we were at their facilities, they actually did the testing for us that was good for 24 hours, and that we were, it was very courteous of them because that allowed us to move on and not have to go to a test center. And for those of you, there are two types of testing that we're doing here. One is nasal and one is in the throat. And if you ever want to have a good time, invite, come watch Dita get the nasal test. He does a tap dance through the whole thing and causes a lot of fun in the test center. So, anything to add, Dita?
Oh, yes, I can tell you it's due to my big brain, which leads into my nose, and they're sticking their test sticks right through the nose into my brain, and I hate it, I can tell you that. And I'm really looking for the next test, which is going to be this afternoon at company New Ways, and I can only hope that's tomorrow morning, Astiel Flesh, where we'll be tomorrow morning, will accept the test from yesterday, from today, and we don't have to do another one. So at least we can then push it to tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. And I would just say, too, for people out there who haven't gone through this, I know back in the United States, we don't have a lot of these similar protocols. You know, it's not a big deal, right? I mean, you plan for it, you handle it. We're all, you know, we wear masks, we go in, we have to verify that and show our vaccination record when we go into a building. And it's just for the utmost concern for their own employees and maintaining a safe environment so they can keep their business open. So this isn't any big hassle that we go through. It's just become kind of a part of doing business at this point and with what's going on in the world.
Yes, the only problem is everybody tells me all the time that I'm negative, and actually I'm a very positive person.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, folks, well, thanks for listening as always. If you have any questions for Dieter or myself, hit us up on LinkedIn. We'd be glad to respond or in a future edition. Until next time, stay safe. Thank you.